as a church. So I'm going to use that scripture in Luke chapter 5. You can turn, we man, the word of God, or you can, some people have apps these days to turn to. For Luke chapter 5, the title of the message is What Happens at the Captain's Table. For me, this is a message primarily for them that's getting baptized. It's a message for James and for Sarah and Louise. This is their moment. And so if anybody else gets anything for us, it's an added bonus. But really, I was thinking about them when I was going through this message. And it's a great message. It was, as we're following a devotional, it was for a lady that used to fellowship here, Joy, if I can say her last name, Vera Corodney. And really, it fits in with a baptismal message. Well, why? Because there's a crowd there. There's a crowd here. There's preaching the word of God. There's preaching here. There's water involved. There's conversion. And there's a hell lot of other stuff. And many will be familiar with this. It's Luke chapter 5. Peter is a captain of a boat. He's a skipper of a boat. But then something happens. A greater skipper arrives. A greater captain arrives. And this, for me, is what happens at the captain's table, for we can expect when we encounter Jesus. Luke chapter 5. One day as Jesus was preaching. This is just one day. This might be your day. This is certainly their day. But one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed this, that was two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. You get the picture, eh? They're ready to go home. There's two empty boats, they're washing their nets. They're just giving up. Maybe you're here this morning and life's just not working out right for you if you're washing your nets. But then Jesus stepped into one of the boats, and Jesus asked Simon, his owner, to push it out into the water. And he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." That's a great broch story, isn't it? With boats and fish, crews and skippers. "Master," Simon replied, "we have worked hard all day and all last night, and we haven't caught a thing. But if you say so, I will let this net down again." This time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. And then after that, it is Simon Peter's conversion. First thing I would say is that exchange and going into uncharted territory. The exchange. Got to be really stereotypical about skippers here. Sorry, Andra, and other skippers that are here. But a skipper, they're in charge, aren't they? And they're in charge because they've learned the hard lessons of it being a fisherman is really about. We take it for granted when we go to the Swanee for a fish supper and we just, well, that's good. Nay, realizing that skippers and crews have risked their lives and skippers value that. And usually a skipper, a stereotypical skipper, they like to be told for today. Especially when it comes about fishing. Because they have got the navigation, they have earned the skills, and they have earned the right. And they have lost sleep over their catching fish, and they have teen the risks, and they have to wash the nets, and they have to think about the crew's wages. But here, this is, must have been going through Peter's mind, or I just feel as though I'm going home. I just want to go home. He's a skipper. He hasn't caught nothing. He's doing it in his luck. He's feeling. And then Jesus comes along and says these words, "Peter, can I just use your boat?" And then he gave him advice on how to fish. Imagine if I rocked up in the hair bar and they were just washing their nets and the skipper was ready to go home. After a long, hard day catching nothing and a long, hard night catching nothing, and this preacher dude goes up to a skipper and gives him advice on how to fish and if I can use his boat. Do you think I would go doing weel in the broch? But this is what happened. The preacher turns up and says, you want to use your boat. And here we see the divine exchange. Because Peterhead was an empty boat that didn't catch no fish. And Jesus says, can I use if it's not working in your life? And if it Jesus brought was fish that Peter was looking for. The divine exchange was, if you give me your empty boat, the stuff in your life that's not working, and I could give you something that will satisfy. I could give you something that you are looking for, something of worth. We've heard three people's life stories, real life stories, how they're searching, some in different churches, some in different fellowships, some growing up, and to deal with a heartache or pain or grief. And the divine exchange is, Jesus says, I'll take your boat that's not working, and I'll tell you how to find fish. I'll take your heart or grief, James. I'll give you peace and comfort. If you let me just enter an area that isn't working, I'll give you something that does work. If you are searching for God, give me your questions, and I will give you a firm foundation. Give me your baggage in life, Jesus says. If you just let me use your boat that's not working, you just let me into areas of hurt and pain, I can give you a plan. I can give you peace. I can give you the presence of Jesus. I can tell you how to find what you are looking for. I can tell you how far that fish is at. It's a divine exchange. Many of us have stories in here, similar stories, how God has just took our ashes and gave us something beautiful. But before I was maybe in a house, there was no peace, and Jesus simply says, let me into your boat. And Jesus, I can bring peace to households. I can bring salvation to households. If it would we expect at the master's, at the captain's table, that divine exchange. It must have been a humbling thing for Peter to admit that it just hadn't worked. And it must have been a humbling thing for Peter to get advice from a preacher guy that's saying, go out, for it is deeper. My advice to them that are going through the waters of baptism, for Sarah, for James and Louise, is to think about that words of Peter that says, I'll do this because he said so. And if we are looking at a stereotypical skipper, a stereotypical captain, Peter's experience would have told him, there's no fish. Just go back home. Go back and be with your wife. Experience would have told him, why do I need to listen to this preacher guy? I'm the in its train. Just go back. Experience would have told him, I've already washed my nets. It's time to go home and recuperate and get a good sleep. But yet the captain turns up and says, go out, for it is deeper. And he says, my experience is maybe tell me one thing, my intellect maybe tell me another thing, but because he says so, I'm going to go deeper. And then speaking to Sarah and Louise and James, none of them wanted to rush up here with a microphone and testify. But because he says so, I'll get baptized. And Jesus' call in our life is always to go deeper. It doesn't always seem like full experience tells us, because we think, well, I've been to church before and it hasn't worked. And it's trying to pull us back, but yet Jesus proclaims how our lives go out, for it is deeper. Go as deep as you can go, and that's where the blessing of Christ is. want to encourage you, go deeper. Sarah, go deeper. There's Mary Jesus available than you have previously experienced. Louise, Jim, go deeper. Good for it's deeper. Go into deeper waters with Jesus Christ. That's where the blessing is. That's where the joy is. Don't let nothing pull you back. Don't let your previous experience pull you back. Don't even let your intellect pull you back. Just be keen to say, if he says so, I'm going to go for it. And at times of doubt, hear the words of Jesus, our your life, you are saved. I have a plan for your life. I have a purpose for your life. And you're going to hear times and you're sitting in your house and think, I don't even feel us. But because he says so, there's a plan for my life. Because he says so, I am forgiven. I am loved in the beloved. Let's go into deeper waters. That presence would be undeniable. And it's humbling sometimes just to say, I'm not feeling that my family are maybe going a different direction, but because he says so, I'm going to follow Jesus. At the master's table, we can expect that he would take us into uncharted territory, that there's an adventure awaiting you three. You've begun your journey, but God has got so much more for you as if you would just realize to go with what he is telling you to do. And then the elastication, being stretched. This is what people didn't like to hear, but this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Peter did take his washed nets and he did set sail again for deeper waters. And then the blessing was so much, he started to shout. The nets are getting torn. There's a stretching involved. And I need some help. This is maybe for you don't want to hear them that's gone through the waters of baptism. God will stretch you. He will stretch you. It says that he stretched forth the heavens at the time of creation. And he stretches you to breaking point. And even when you were thinking about this moment last night when you testified, you were thinking, I'm being stretched here. But yet God fills the stretching with blessing. He doesn't stretch you because he looks down for heaven and thinks, I'm going to be really cruel to Sarah. I'm going to be really cruel to James and Louise. I'm going to be really cruel to them. But in the stretching, there's blessing. It's full of fish. You know, maybe you hear us morning, you're feeling stretched with life, feeling stretched with your work, feeling stretched. I feel stretched with my kids sometimes. Feel stretched being a son, stretched being a dad, stretched in Peter's nets. We're stretching because we're so full of blessing. We've got to see that God stretches us to bless us. Oh, we will just keep doing the same things with the same routine and live a life of sameness. But God will often stretch us. It says in his word in Romans, we have these treasures in jars of clay to show that the surpassing great power is from God and not for us. Paul is saying us, we are pressed on all sides. But we're not crushed, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Paul is saying, I'm being stretched, I'm being persecuted. I'm being pressed, I'm being stretched. But then he says this, but I do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, yet our inner self is being renewed day by day. Our light and temporary affliction, our stretching is producing for us an eternal glory, a blessing that far outweighs our troubles, so we fix our eyes on Jesus. Sometimes I feel like Stretch Armstrong. Have I seen Stretch Armstrong and kids get a hold of this doll that can just stretch? And in life, I've just felt like that sometimes. But it's important not to focus just on the stretching, but focus on God that is blessing us while we are getting stretched. A lot of people see stretching as a negative, And they look to the ground and say, oh, just God stretching me, everything stretching me, I've denoed too much. My family stretching me, my work stretching me, everything is stretching me. I just feel stretched. But here we see Peter being stretched, almost to the point of breaking. Maybe we should lift our voices and say, well, if my kids are stretching me, I'll thank God for them anyway. My job is stretching me, well, thank God for a reason to live and to earn. My parents are stretching me, well, thank God for them. Because without them, I wouldn't be here. I'm being stretched, but there's blessing in it for them that are going through the waters of baptism. He doubt what hear us, but I'm going to tell you so anyway. That is a sign of things to come, being stretched. You might as well smile about it. Rejoice, because this is the adventure that God has got to take you three on. There will be stretching, there will be times out of your comfort zone, there will be moments that you're on your knees saying, oh God, I'm being stretched. How do I even parent these kids? But be reminded that God is filling that stretching or his blessing. Lastly, I think it was wonderful how the three of them just gave honor to different people. Lastly, who we expect at the master's table is the effect it has on other people. It blows my mind, and Louise testified really well, the impact of somebody else's blessing had on her life, and yet she's here testifying. And it goes on and on that as Louise was testifying, somebody else is going to be blessed. As Sarah was testifying about the blessing other people have been in. Again, Pat's been a great friend, as well as James has testified about David and Davy. Are these people blessing? When you people, other people get involved in the blessing, the impact it has on other people, because Peter, because of his humility, because of Jesus, he gave Jesus, he's bought. And Jesus filled at a fish. Peter had to shout, I need a hand here to contain the blessing. And then when I was stretching, going on, they thought they were sinking. And then other people, his pearl trawlers came. And it says that was fish enough for both boats. Other people get blessed when Jesus starts blessing other people. A little Bible study tells you that in the Old Testament, under the law, death had the power. Are you okay with a little Bible study for a baptismal service? You still with my eye? Nobody's threw one thing with my yet, so 2 minutes, okay. In the Old Testament, death had the power. You couldn't touch a dead person, or else you would have been infected by that death. The law was, didn't touch somebody that's got in leprosy, or you're going to be affected by that leprosy. Didn't touch people's messes. Didn't touch people's sickness. Didn't touch people's disease, or you will become affected as well. But Jesus showed up bringing the kingdom, bringing grace and bringing truth. And he was able not to be affected by death, but he was able to affect people with life. He touched the widow's son that had passed away. He touched their coffin, and he became alive. He touched the leper, and it became set free and healed and whole. Jesus brought something different, that blessing and life now has the power to invade spaces. That's why one woman, one man can give their life to Jesus, and the whole household gets affected with life, gets affected with love. That's why we can move and blessing and love, and other people have to get on board, because the blessing in our life is so great. And my prayer is for the three that's gone through the waters of baptism. You have no idea how much people that you are going to affect in your life with the blessing of Jesus. I'm not speaking ones or twos. I'm speaking multitudes of people. You have the potential. Your life can touch multitudes of people simply because the blessing of Jesus is upon your life. And you're going to have to call other people, or other people will be attracted to you simply because Jesus is blessing your life. Will you struggle? Will there be times of stretching? Yes. But Jesus in the business of giving you stuff that you are maybe looking for, if you will surrender what you have to your life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I'm just going to say a few things. This is a baptismal service. This is about them. But we're just going to take a few moments to consider your walk with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and something has resonated with the occasion, with the presence of Jesus, and faith has been spoken. Maybe this morning you are ready to say, God, I'm wanting to give you my empty boat. I'm working away. I'm doing life, but I'm missing a piece of the puzzle. And Peter was tired and weary. And then Jesus came on the scene and changed everything. Just want to invite you that if you want to give your boat to Jesus, then now is the time. He can change your life. He can bless you. There will be a stretching, but your life has a potential to impact so many other people's lives for the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom. I'm just going to give you a simple opportunity this morning while every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If you want to be included in a salvation prayer, if you want to be included in a prayer just to say, Jesus, I'm allowing the captain to come into the boat, the true captain, Jesus Christ. If that is you in here this morning, then simply raise your hands. I see at hand one. For anybody else in here this morning, I'm just going to give 30 seconds that would say, I want Jesus in my boat. I've lived too long without an answer to life. People think I'm okay, but I'm tired. I'm just at the point of washing my nets and gone home. If you want Jesus to be in your boat, then simply pop your hand. I'll see you. And pay it doing again. Okay, I see it hand. Thank you. Very courageous. The reason we sit in silence sometimes is just to give the Holy Spirit a chance just to move in your life without words for somebody. Okay, just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. For the sake of them that has responded, I'm going to say a prayer. Prayer is very important. The prayer is the first step to receiving Jesus into your life. It's recognizing that he is Lord. It's recognizing for he did at Calvary and asking him to cleanse every sin and to be born again. So I'm just going to lead us in a simple prayer. But them that are already saved, please say these words after me to encourage them that are saying it for the first time. And say it for the heart and mean it. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, there is no doubting, there is no questioning, you will be saved. So let's repeat this prayer after me. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. You are Savior. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your shed blood, your broken body. We thank you for the power of forgiveness. Forgive me, Jesus, for all that I have done. Come into my life. Be the captain. Change me. Renew me. Bless me with your presence. And lead my life as I follow Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's great. If you put your hand up or maybe say that for the first time, come and see us after the service. Would be great to just confirm that we is. I'm going to invite the worship band to come up. And we've got to take up our tithes and offerings. If you came prepared to give, then that's okay. The reason we do tithes and offerings is just an opportunity for us to do so into the kingdom and do the events that we do within a community. There's quite a lot of folk here, so I'm expecting a big haul. I'm expecting us bags to tear. I'm only joking. Right, please stand and then Us that's gone through the waters and been in the waters will get changed. But please stand. We took up our tithes and offerings.